This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
Well, good morning and welcome to The Gardening Show on B107.5. I'm Igor. I'm itchy because of all these dang mosquitoes. And Bob says there's not a darn thing he could do about it. He has no gardener's trick today.
No trick.
Deep woods off. Spray some off on you, right?
Yeah.
Bathe in DEET. Well, good morning, Bob Harris.
Good morning.
What is on the agenda for today?
Well, first I'd like to mention about perennials here. We're getting in that season where it's my favorite time and a lot of gardeners' favorite time to plant perennials, trees, and shrubs, and lawns even. And the biggest reason is because we have a little more time. We're not in a big rush to rototill and prepare and all that and chop. Also, the plants are going to be under a lot less stress this time of year. We plant in the spring and summer. There's going to be stresses. We're going to be wet one day and then hot and dry the next day. All those stresses add up to a plant and can affect it. Usually this time of year, late summer, fall, we don't have those stresses. Usually the ground stays a little damp, a little bit cooler the whole time. The plant is not actively growing, so its needs are a little less, so and its demands. So there's going to be a lot less stress on it. So a lot of us find a whole lot more success planting in the fall than planting in the spring and summer. That's just a recommendation for you. And, you know, we're lucky here in Bradford, there's a lot of plant material available this time of year, too. And try to ignore the mosquitoes a little.
It really is making it hard to enjoy the garden this year.
Yeah, it's one of the worst I can remember for a long time. You know, it's been many years since we've had this many mosquitoes. But that goes with the weather. You know, we've had a long, wet season. And, of course, it only takes some guys a couple days in that puddle to breed and multiply. We just have to deal with it.
Make sure there's no standing water where you can.
Wear a lot of clothing.
Yeah, a lot of clothing on an 86-degree day.
Yeah, that
sounds fantastic.
Doesn't it, though?
Our phone lines are open, 814-368-9372, if you'd like to ask the Master Gardener, Bob Harris, a question.
Yeah, so also this time of year, you know, a lot of people are thinking about their house plants. And those that haven't gotten any, you know, I want to give you a little information. Maybe I can encourage you to get a few house plants to continue gardening from outdoors to indoors. Here's a few little facts. Research shows that plants can lower your blood pressure, ease stress, and generally make people feel better. A relationship that fulfills a basic human emotional need. An American Horticultural Therapy Association used plants growing in as a fundamental part of their therapy plans for the elderly, disabled, surgery, chemotherapy patients, and also for group homes and even prisons.
And this is just by looking at the plant makes you feel good.
It does. Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yep.
You don't have to smoke this plant.
No, you don't.
Hey, we have a phone call.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air with Bob Harris.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. I have a little garden pond, and I planted ivy around it. And last year, it grew around. It looked great. But this year, it's grown up. It's almost covering the solar lights. And I just want to know, could I just take, like, the hedge clippers and chop it down? Or what do I do to keep it under control?
Yeah, you can take any clippers at all and chop it down so it doesn't keep heading up. One thing about ivy is it wants to grow up. All plants need to, their first goal in life is to flower, set seed, to carry on their generations. And ivy is one of them. And it can only flower once it gets to a higher elevation. It's around 15 feet that it'll begin to flower. A lot of people have never seen ivy bloom, but it's a beautiful blooming plant. And it produces a lot of berries, and in those berries are seeds that are really pretty, and the birds like them too. For your purpose, go right ahead and clip it. You won't harm the plant at all, and keep it from climbing up, because it will climb rapidly.
Is now a good time to do it, or when's the best time to do it?
The best time is whenever you got a clipper in your hand.
Yep. Okay. Ivy's well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate your show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Ivy's one of those that even somebody like me can probably not kill, right?
Oh, yeah, you can't. Yeah, yeah. You can walk through it, clip it. Yeah, it's a very hardy plant. But it is fascinating once it does reach that height that it needs to flower. And I don't really know the reason why it has to get to that height.
I never knew it flowered because a neighbor across the street has ivy and it's, you know, they have it all up the house.
Okay.
You know, it's growing all the way up to like, you know, the second floor.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't look that closely, but I don't want to be that creepy neighbor that's studying the guy across the street's house. But
well, usually it's pretty noticeable. For some reason, that one isn't blooming yet. Maybe not all the conditions are just right. Has to have the right amount of light and water.
Well, they have so many other shrubs and flowers and things, so I don't know what I'm looking at.
Oh, okay.
there's a lot going on there.
But it is pretty neat to see that once it gets that certain height and age and all the other conditions are right, when it does bloom and produce berries. Pretty fascinating.
Back to the indoor plants that we were talking about. So plants bring us joy. And what is it? It lowers blood pressure and all this kind of...
Yes, stress. I'm going to even go on to say that the business world has found out that by having houseplants in offices, that raises the humidity. And by raising the humidity, it suppresses a lot of microbes that are bad for us.
Oh.
And so people in those areas are usually healthier and more productive. Studies show that they're 12% more productive in those types of businesses. So plants do appeal to the human senses, sight, smell, and touch. And exposure to plants is shown to improve and minimize time spent in hospitals after surgery and reduce the amount of painkillers and reduce depression.
See, now my next question was going to be, do the fake plants have the same properties just by looking at something green? Is that what we're talking about? But no, you're saying that with the humidity level and the whole
the
scent and everything.
A plant does change the environment, and it's a well-known fact. And thanks to NASA, they did many, many studies about this early in the space program, that plants can take a lot of harmful gases out of the house and do it quickly. When they were first building the space capsule, they did notice that a lot of off-gassing from all the different materials they were putting into the space capsule. So much so that a human couldn't live in there without supplemental oxygen. So they did some studies with plants, and they found that a spider plant can rid a small area of all the bad gases within one day, a 24-hour period.
Wow.
Yeah, spider plants, I got to name a few other plants here, too, I got listed here, that are very good for ridding the air of certain chemicals and gases. The number one is the spider plant.
Good. I have a French bulldog. There's a lot of gases coming from
it. Yeah, okay.
So maybe this will help
you
out.
You need that, yeah. fern, mum, palm, dracaena, English ivy, peace lily, and corn plant. Those, it's kind of odd that those all tend to be the most popular houseplants right there. So a lot of us are doing something that we didn't even realize because we like a peace lily in our living room, that it's not just looking pretty and causing us to care for it and pay attention to it, but it's also taking a lot of those bad chemicals right out of the air and then converting them into plant growth. So a lot of good happening there without even us knowing it. But again, that's another point that all of us have different gases in our houses from all the different building materials and furniture and carpets and whatever we have. The plant's going to help rid all those things. You may feel better. You probably will. You may not notice it at first, but the more houseplants you have in there, the better off it is going to be for you and your house.
So like it helps filter out like maybe some of the artificial chemical type smells from your cleaners and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It does. And so they even took it a step further and found that a lot of your house furnishings right, are going to last longer due to the plants. Your carpets, your furniture, your wall coverings, they're all going to last a little bit longer because the plants are filtering out all these bad chemicals and raising the humidity just a little bit to keep your house from getting too dry. Mm. Or they almost regulate the humidity so it doesn't have that fast spike of going high humidity to low humidity.
And that could probably make fabrics and things
fall apart soon. Yeah.
Brittle or,
more
brittle.
So houseplants are inexpensive, easy to find and purchase, and surprisingly easy to care for. A lot of those that I named there and a few more don't need as much care as a lot of people think they need. As a matter of fact, they probably would thrive better on a little less care, just you looking at them and enjoying them. Because 99% or around 90% of plants fail from overwatering, from overcare. And so a good thing to think about is don't put your plant on a watering schedule. Say, well, I need a cup of water every week. It's probably a big mistake.
So you can't automate it?
You can't really, okay. No. And think about how a plant grows in nature. It doesn't really get that constant care on a regular schedule. So you should treat it the same way even in your house.
Now, what about those automatic waterers that you could stick in? I've seen like those glass ones, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you put that in the soil and supposedly it, gets the water when it needs. What do you think about those?
Hey, I think they're great for when you're going to go away for a while.
Okay.
But even through normal time, they can be pretty beneficial for most plants. Because when they're giving their water, they're only giving it like a drop at a time. And you do have the little water bottles that just drip real slowly. There's even clay containers that the water just seeps out of the clay container into the soil very slowly. Or there's wicks that you put a cotton fabric in a container of water and put the other end into your potted plant. And it'll slowly, very slowly wick water into that to keep the plant hydrated.
Yeah. Okay.
But most people fail by saying, well, my plant doesn't look right. I better water it. Maybe it's dry. And there's ways you can check to see. You can put your finger in the soil. But for those that don't want to do that, don't want to get dirty, and the best way to do that is at the edge of the pot, not in the center of the soil, because every time you put your finger in, you could be damaging some roots. So right where the soil meets the pot, that's where you want to stick your finger in. That's where the fewest amount of roots are going to be. And that's how you can test it. Or my favorite way is just learn the weight of the plant. And you don't even have to pick it up. You can just tip it after you get used to it, and it only takes a short time. And if it's heavy, when it's wet, then you put that in your memory. And if it's real light when it's dry, which it will be, then you put that in your memory. So you get to the point where you can just walk over and kind of just lift one end of the pot. You don't have to lift the whole pot to tell if it's wet or dry. And I find that's probably one of my favorite ways and probably best way of telling when a plant needs water, when it doesn't. Because sometimes it is hard to tell when that plant is dry.
Well, now, what about also the plants continue to grow, so maybe the weight's constantly changing? I don't know.
Yeah, how's but that? It's going to be so little that you won't notice it from week to week or month to month if you only check your plants once a month.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess if you don't add dirt, it's not going to get too much heavier, right?
Yeah, true.
You have to change to a bigger pot after a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But believe me, you'll get used to that weight very, very shortly.
Very good. And when we come back, we'll take more phone calls, if you have them, at 368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. We'll be right back with more Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris, right here on B107.5.
Get your summertime projects finished and get ready for fall at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. Pressure-treated lumber is finally back in stock for your building projects, and you'll find plenty of driveway sealer while there's still time to get that project done. Carhartt apparel for fall has just arrived, as well as a full line of fire retardant gear. See their nice supply of decorative fall flags and stock up now on your canning jars while they last. Summer to fall, you'll find it all at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5 and streaming on Facebook right now. You can check us out at facebook.com/WESB1075.
I want to tell a little story here about the Biosphere 2. I don't know if you remember it or not, but
was that when they put a bunch of people in like this giant fishbowl?
Yeah, exactly. Much? Yeah. And when you say giant fishbowl, believe me, it is giant. Now, the government made it as an experiment to see if they could put people on another planet or somewhere else, you know.
Under a manufactured environment or all self-contained under a bubble.
Yeah, like a big greenhouse.
Yeah.
But this is really big, really, really big. I think it's somewhere around 9 million square feet. The thing was big. And inside that biosphere, it's so large that one area is a desert. One area is a tropical forest. One area is a small ocean. Another area is a mountain. Another area is just plains. And then, of course, they had the area for gardening for the people they put in there to see how well they would survive. Now, a lot of people say that the experiment failed because a lot of the people just couldn't stay in there for a long period of time. They got sick. And it took them many, many years. It took them decades to discover why. It wasn't that the biosphere was performing right and the plants weren't doing their job by taking in carbon monoxide and dioxide and producing oxygen. It was that a lot of the areas like the mountain and the ocean, they had to pour concrete 6 foot thick in those areas.
Oh.
And it takes 6 foot of concrete 50 years to cure. So it's off-gassing for those first 50 years.
Really? Wow.
And for some reason, the scientists just didn't know that what they needed was a tradesman in there, in their group. Someone that really knew about concrete, you know. I'm not making fun of those scientists. You know, they were the top scientists in the country.
Well, that's why it's an experiment. Now they know.
Yeah.
So in a way, you know, and the failure, they through that, that they've learned.
Sometimes the most knowledgeable guy just overlooks the simplest thing. When I was on a tour there, we got to meet some of the people that were involved in that science project. And one of the questions that my group asked was, did you guys get tired of just eating bananas all the time? And they said, yeah, that was the problem. He says, well, why didn't you grow apples? And he says, geez, I really don't know. And it kind of shocked me because this is supposed to be one of the top horticulturists in the world. And my wife was elbowing me, saying, geez, Bob, answer. I says, I can't, man. This guy's, you know, a much smarter human being than I am. But the reason is because, like most fruits, the apple tree has to go through a cold period in order to set flower and then make fruit. And, of course, in that area, they just did not do that. They
didn't have different climates in that. Well, different temperatures, I guess.
Yeah, not where they were growing the food crops. Uh-huh. They kept it nice and warm. So bananas grew great, you know, and some of their other food crops. That was just one part of it. Sometimes even some of the smartest guys on earth, you know, miss the simplest things. So again, maybe they should have just had a tradesman there, you know, one of the guys that really works in the field. Might have helped them, you know, looking at
the But it wasn't just how many people were living in there, like 8 or something like that? Or
yeah, it was something like that, 8 to 12 that were living in there.
But it wasn't only, I mean, I would imagine that hundreds of other people would have insight in creating this habitat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before these just 8 or 10 people or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So out of those hundreds of people, they didn't think about
some of the
variety of food.
Yeah. And the concrete.
Right. And the concrete.
Yeah. But another fascinating thing, you know, and now the University of Arizona has bought the whole complex and continues to do lots and lots of experiments, very important experiments. So you can still visit the area and get some nice lessons. In one area, another area that really fascinated me was the desert. And you walk down this concrete pathway to get into the desert. And at one section, they tell you be very careful because one cactus, very tall, about 10 to 15 foot tall, had fallen and fallen into another cactus on the other side of that walkway. So you had to duck to get under there. And they said they just kind of left it alone, not knowing what was going on, until one day they discovered both of those cactuses seemed to always have some kind of health problem all the time, until they fell into each other. Then they stopped having any health problems.
Really?
Yeah. And so the experiment started. They started looking into that. Why is this? Well, the one cactus, the spines on it had pierced the other cactus, and they started exchanging chemicals. They both knew somehow, you know, I know it sounds funny, but the both plants knew that without that other plant, I'm going to fall over and die. So I need this guy. So when he's sick, I'm going to give him some of my nutrients. And when I'm sick, he's going to give me some of his nutrients.
Wow. That's really neat.
Yeah. That they learned quite a bit from that experiment.
Right. An accidental experiment.
Accidental experiment.
Just happened to happen.
Which happens quite often in science.
That's really cool.
Another one they're doing that fascinates me and kind of bothers me in a way is they're experimenting with the rainforest part of that biosphere. And they know that the rain is getting less and less in the tropics, and the tropics are very important to us. So they're shutting down the water little by little, giving the tropical area a little less water to see what is going to happen.
Yeah, what's the reaction?
It's going to be. And again, I start to think right away. I say, my gosh, anybody that grows houseplants knows what's going to happen when you lessen the watering. Some plants are going to get healthier. Some plants are not. Some may fail. And some may just adjust. Most will just adjust over time in a short period of time. It doesn't take them long to adjust to their water needs. So my thought is everything will be fine. The plants will adjust to the amount of rain that they're going to start to get there. And they do have it equipped so it does actually rain in the rainforest. Mm-hmm. So that was another one that really surprised me. But again, they'll find out something out of that experiment, something very important.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, the phone lines are still open. We have about 6 minutes left in the show. If you have a question for the Master Gardener, Bob Harris, give us a call, 814-368-9372, or leave a comment on our Facebook Live.
So another thing I wanted to talk about was, I guess I've mostly been talking about tropical plants. You know, most houseplants are tropical plants, except that the cactus. There's a lot of cactus growers out there now, and they are a lot of fun to grow in the house as a house plant. And some of their evolutionary history is, at one time, long, long ago, cactuses had leaves rather than spines. And if you've ever grown a cactus from a seed, which is fascinating as heck, that you'll notice when it first emerges out of the soil, it has leaves and no spines. Now, that's part of its evolutionary history coming out.
See, I always thought it took forever for a cactus to grow, so I never really looked into it.
Oh, no, some of them grow quite quickly.
Okay.
Yeah. They do eventually develop spines now, and that's all due to evolutionary, they think, you know, trying to adapt to their area, which is hot and dry. Some deserts, even in America, only get rain once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to think about too. Whenever you have a house plant, think about where it comes from, and try to treat it in that way. So I think we got a message though, don't we?
Yeah, we have a Facebook message.
I want to get that before we run out of time.
No, that's all right. Well, first of all, Tricia says, just wanted to say thanks for the show. She loves it. Thank you, Tricia,
so much. Thanks, Tricia.
And Tom says just a statement that he has noticed, that there appears as though the sugar maple have a blight this year. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I've seen it on a lot of maples, not just the sugar maple. When we have certain conditions, environmental conditions, warm and wet, certain fungus will start to occur. And maybe what he's seeing is a lot of black spots and brown spots on his sugar maples. And that's called tar spots. And it's quite common when we do have the right environmental conditions. It does not kill the tree. It would have to get very, very severe to do that. And we're not seeing it yet and probably won't see it. So it's nothing that you have to do, really nothing to be too concerned about. Nature will take care of it, you know, as it dries up or when it finally sheds them leaves and then gets a new chance next year.
Okay, very good. Phone lines are open, about 3 minutes left, 368-9372. You better tack on an 814 on that these days.
Yes.
I never tried dialing without. Does it just does it send you somewhere else and say, or do you get like shocked on the keypad? Pad, no, you got to dial 814.
To me, it just says, you know, could not connect this number.
814-368-9372. What else is on your big list of doom there? Holy moly, look at your notes.
So with the cactus, I want to continue about that because they are a really fun plant. And for those people that usually ignore their houseplants, maybe they should think about how cactus, because they thrive on being neglected. And most of the time I have to tell people, when you think your cactus needs water because the soil looks really dry, walk away from it for another week or two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because, again, think about it. Sometimes in the desert, it only rains once a year. And another way to tell is with your cactus, you get to know it by looking at it. When it starts to get a little wrinkly, it'll get wrinkles in it when it starts to get dehydrated. It's not dead yet. It's just getting wrinkly because there's not enough water in it. So that's a good sign that it needs a little water and very little water. You should never really soak a cactus. Just give it a little bit of a drink. And then maybe in a few days, just give it a little more of a drink. And when I say little, you know, I'm talking about ounce or 2 ounces, depending on the size of
cactus. Of course, yeah. Now, what about in the natural environment? What about like the night dew? Is there dew in the desert?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because the desert can get down to, you know, freezing, below freezing. Mm-hmm. And so it does create a lot of dew. And, of course, the cactus does absorb that quite often. It's not going to do that in your house.
Right.
I'm
just wondering how that contributes to the water consumption and its natural environment.
It does. And cactus have the ability to root extremely deep. You know, the saguaro cactus, the famous almost tree-like cactus with the arms, they can penetrate, you know, 100 feet deep into the soil. So they can find a supply of soil. Now, it's not going to do that in a pot in your house. So you have to watch it a little bit closer. But again, believe me, they thrive on neglect. One other thing, you know, I always get a question about cactuses. You know, why doesn't mine flower? Think again about how the desert is. It's very, real hot in the daytime and then very cold in the night. If you put your cactus in a window or an area that it gets a lot of cold drafts in the winter, that's going to help it initiate the bloom. It needs the cold night air to initiate the bloom. Now, I don't recommend putting them outside in January, you know, but in the house where it'll get quite cold.
Or maybe like in a mud room or something.
Yeah.
That might not be.
With lots of light. Heated. The more light, the better for a cactus. Although we have discovered that quite often cactus can grow under low lights too. Again, all plants have that ability, if you can keep them alive and healthy, that they can adjust to their condition. So a plant that needs lots of light can adjust over time to a lower light situation.
Fascinating. Well, thank you very much for talking plants
with us.
Remember, there's all those benefits to having a plant in the house.
Yes, indeed.
It makes you healthier. Bottom line, you're more healthier with a plant.
That's right.
Very good advice. Thanks, Bob, and we'll talk to you again next week on The Gardening Show. Remember, we're on demand at WESB.com, so you can hear the show anytime you'd like. And we will talk next week on The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith, right here on WESB, B107.5 FM.